141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another busy league weekend before attention turns to Europe. Celtic put on a five-star show at Kilmarnock to keep up their 100% start. Rangers put four past St Johnstone and will now welcome back Ryan Kent for the visit of PSV Eindhoven tomorrow. And there were big wins for Motherwell, Livingston, Hearts and St Mirren as Dundee United and Ross County's woes continue. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight we've got Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
And Scottish football is up in the air tonight, Gordon. Two sensational, spectacular scissor kicks among those five goals for Celtic at Kilmarnock. Rangers will be head over heels tomorrow if they can get a Champions League lead over PSV Eindhoven. And all that is before Andy Halliday and his Hearts pals jet off to Switzerland to start their European adventure against Zurich. We've not had this much aerial excitement and Super Scoreboard since you and Gordon DL dived out that plane.
Listen to that. The tabloid man cannot be kept down. Andy Halliday, good luck
headline already
following that. But Hearts flying, absolutely, flying, as Roger says. But overall, a good weekend as well.
Flying. I was going to say it was two fairly routine victories for the Old Firm, but let's go for three because it was pretty routine for Hearts as well. And I'll annoy producer Callum. But a couple of shocks in there, and certainly one for the mighty Motherwell. Gordon, I noticed that extra skip in your step this morning. So, very good result for Stevie Hamill in his first game as full time manager.
Do you know where your passport is?
I don't, but I've actually just had a message there to look out for tonight because they need the details tomorrow.
So. You need to stay calm because remember the last time you went overseas, you popped the question.
Yep, that's true.
I thought you were going to say...
I may have actually chucked the passport in the sea after that question, so...
I thought you were going to say last time you went overseas, you stayed on loan in Azerbaijan for a couple of months. A few different experiences.
Try to forget about that,
we'll
Gordon.
Maybe get to them. 01419511025 to speak to Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. And you've got a special guest in the studio tonight as well. It's been a busy day in Glasgow. You might have noticed, heard it on our news channels, the Davis Cup team has been announced. Captain Leon Smith, who specially requested to come on this show, Roger Hanna. He's such a fan of the madness in here. We thought we'd get him in, we'd talk football, we'll talk about tennis, we'll see what's happening in Glasgow. And we'll have good fun, Leon. Good to have you.
I am a little bit in shock of being here. It's an absolute pleasure. People think I've got this strange addiction about this show. Anywhere I am in the world, at a tennis event, wherever, this is the podcast that I go to. So to be here, this is a pleasure.
Love that, honestly.
Yep. Great. Said it specifically a Monday looks out for as well.
No, I didn't. Nice. That's an absolute lie. It was the only day you could make it. Right, 01419511025. Come on, big games at the weekend. Celtic fans, most recently starting there yesterday. How good was it? How impressed were you? What stood out for you? The variation in goal scorer, the quality of the goals, whatever it is, pick up the phone and let us know. We will look back on that. Rangers fans, I suppose, St Johnstone, yes, but attention already turning to PSV Eindhoven. Get all your thoughts in and many more talking points from across the weekend. Come on, let's hear from you right now. 0141 951 1025. The result of the weekend, Roger Hanna.
Well, I was there. Aberdeen 2, Motherwell 3.
The only choice.
You're holding up a big piece of paper that says I have to say that, Gordon. But not like, joking aside, Motherwell were terrific. Stevie Hamill changed the formation, changed the tactics, and Aberdeen could not cope with them. It sounds, for those who hadn't seen the game, as if it was a tight game, but Motherwell could easily have won by more.
Andy, you would obviously pick that as well. I know it, but I make no you way. Pick a different one, so...
I'm going to go St Mirren. I thought it was a big, big weekend for Stephen Robinson. I thought it was really, really important that they got their first win on board. And I thought it was against a Ross County team that I waxed lyrical about in terms of their performance at Tynecastle a couple of weeks ago. So for myself, I thought Ross County were going to go there and get 3 points. But a big win for Stephen Robinson and his team.
I'll give Hearts an honourable mention. Livy would surely be in that bracket as well.
But both halves are the Old Firm because, you know, we sort of... almost take it as granted. They win 5-0 and 4-0 and we don't mention it. So big wins there too.
Goal of the weekend. Great choices this weekend. I'm interested to see what you've gone for.
Well, honourable mentions for the couple I mentioned at the top of the show. Morris Jensen, Georgios Giokoumakis. Great spectacular goals. But I have to go for Richard Tate of St Mirren. A terrific goal against Ross County. It's his first in 2 years. You know, Gordon DL gets married more often than Richard Tate scores goals. So I have to give him the goal.
You just know he's going to come up with something from the Hearts game. Come on, which one
I'm
was
I'm going
it?
To go Lauren Shanklin. And it might surprise a few.
I thought it would at least be Barry Mackay.
Well, it might surprise a few because they've only seen the finish. But if you see the full build up for the goal, it starts from Craig Gordon. It's great interchange at the back. It ends up with a, I think it's a 8 pass move, very quick. And ends up with Longshank and tapping it in at the front post. So that's my goal of the weekend.
Joel Nobley, Jota.
We'll get to him, Gordon.
Okay, howler of the weekend. This is where the fun truly starts.
Howler of the weekend, and he's had a tough few days, but I have to say Mark Berigetti, the new Dundee United goalkeeper, lost 7 in Holland on Thursday night, lost 1 to Lauren Shanklin after 41 seconds, but the one he pushed out at the feet of George Grant for, I think it was Hart's third goal, he got away with one in the first half that he pushed out into the danger area and he got hacked away by a United defender. He didn't get away with it the second time. 11 goals in 2 games, difficult.
No comment, Andy Halliday. He's got a wee grin on his face as you're describing some of them. We'll move on. Yeah, howler.
I'm going to continue with the Dundee United theme, and I'm just going to go with producer Callum. The fact he's even showed his face in this studio after a 7-0 drubbing in Holland, and then after me winning a Clyde One derby at the weekend, I can't believe he's shown up.
I like it how you've made it all about yourself. That's nice. Performance of the weekend, Roger.
Performance individual. Of the weekend, individually, not a player. New manager, Stephen Hamill. Absolutely terrific. He started his playing career with Motherwell at Aberdeen in 2000, lost 2-1. It's taken him 22 years to atone for that. And the smile on his face when he came off the pitch after that 3-2 win on Saturday, it meant everything to him.
No, he atoned for that in 2015 at Pittodrie, let me tell you. But we'll maybe get to that a bit later on. Andy Halliday,
I'm going to go for a player, and you mentioned him a couple of minutes ago. Joe Nubley's start to the season in terms of individual performances have been remarkable. I mean, we described him as a ragdoll of what he did to Rangers in the opening day of the season, and he continued that at Hibs. I mean, his individual performance was incredible. The goal, I mean, for 6'5", 6'6",
he's
Roger,
a 6'foot 6 dribbler
to show the feet that he's got. And then not only that, a couple of highlights he had in the second half, his performance certainly deserved
Marvin it. Marvin actually said that a couple of Mondays ago when you were off, and Marvin and I did a show.
Great show
Marvin
that night, actually, wasn't
despite
it?
Despite the fact he is so big, he says he's better with the ball at his feet than he is in the air, actually. He says he's got terrific feet, and that's part of the thing that Marvin thinks he'll go on and kick on in his career.
I think there's no doubt he's in the shortlist already for Player of the Month.
I thought you were going to say Player of the Year.
No,
this is
the
earliest discussion we've ever had. Anyway, Andy Halliday, Roger Hannah, we've got our special guest Leon Smith with us as well. Pick up that phone, come on, 01419511025. Whatever you thought of the weekend, however you're feeling about European action this week, pick up that phone right now, please, and let us know. 01419511025. Let's start at Rugby Park. Yesterday, Celtic fans, come on, you must have something nice to say about it. Ange Postecoglou was delighted. The player didn't make any excuses. It was obviously a hot day, astroturf pitch, etc. But he says it's important to make sure every game is a memorable one.
It wasn't the easiest of conditions for the boys to play our sort of football, and both in terms of temperature and the pitch, but to the players' credit, you know, they kept the discipline, focus, committed to our style of football, and plenty of excuses today for us sort of just to look at this game as 3 points and get up the road, but you know, we still wanted to put on a performance, and really pleased players did that. This is a game where it can turn into a bit of an ugly game. You win it and it's not memorable in any way, but you know, we don't want to miss opportunities to give our fans some special moments, and you know, today was one of those days. I think, you know, some of our goals would have really, you know, pleased our fans, and for us, you know, it's a really important sort of message in terms of, you know, us sticking to our football.
Right, let's get stuck in then. On the phones, Ian is first up tonight. What's your point, Ian?
How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, Roger? Is it Andy Halliday?
Andy Halliday's here, yes. Yep. Take it away.
Andy, get yourself ready for next Sunday, mate.
That's Sunday, Ian.
Get battered, so yous are. I'll tell you now, there's a double figure coming. And I'll tell you, Kilmarnock were lucky they only get beat 5-0 yesterday. Because, see the donkey that scored the second goal. That's the donkey that Celtic paid $6.5 million for. And the other donkey that played the centre back. Cameron Carter-Vickers, tell Jonty Paisley, he's a donkey.
I knew this was going to live on, Roger Hanna. I can't remember if it was...
Was that the call last Monday?
It may well have been.
No, it was about 3 weeks ago.
Someone called in and said that Jota was a donkey, and now it's going to get repeated every night for the rest of the season, every time he does something well.
At 6:10 that Monday, and I was rubbing my hands because I thought, this will keep us going to 8 o'clock this Monday night. I didn't realise it was going to keep us going all season long. Fair, but Radio Clyde should actually pay John.
Don't suggest that, for goodness sake. He'll be pestering me every 2 minutes. Was Jota doing well for a donkey?
He's doing differently well. I mean, Andy set the hair running on Player of the Month with his Joel Nubley shout. You could have a shout for Barry Mackay of Hearts, but I'd be very surprised if Jota didn't win it, because he scored that wonderful goal against Aberdeen in the first Sunday of the season. I think he had three assists in the win at Ross County after that, and then he repeated the trick with that shot at Kilmarnock yesterday. £6.5 million is looking like a bargain.
Now, I did say we've got a special guest. We've got Leon Smith, Davis Cup captain, in the studio with us tonight, because he's a big fan of the show, he's a big football fan, and of course a big day in Glasgow as he announces the latest Davis Cup team. Of course we're going to get round to that, but it would be mad of us not to put him on the spot for football reasons right at the start. You're a big Celtic fan, Leon. Not to let that put anyone off who wants to come and watch the team.
We need both sets of the Old Firm coming to watch our team.
But you must be impressed with your football team at the moment.
It's a great start. I think the signings have been great. I think, look, you're doing your stuff at the start, and the performances. I think Jota is just, he is a bargain at that price now. You know, the goal he scored at the weekend was pretty sensational. Maybe the keeper could have done a bit better, I don't know, but it was a good strike. But yeah, I'm happy with how the team's going.
Is that perfect? Probably in the middle, Andy, where both can be true. Mm-hmm. Where Derek McInnes will look at his goalkeeper, but you can still give a level of praise, of course, to Jota, and that's before you even get to his body of work across the start of the season.
Yeah, you can't take away from the strike. It's incredible technique. It's 25, 30 yards out, and he's arrowed it into the top corner. Of course, a goalkeeper should maybe do better, but you can't take it away from Jota's technique. And it's 5 goal contributions in 3 games. It's exactly what Celtic paid the money for. But I mean, Ange Postecoglou mentioned 2 things that made that fixture a bit more difficult for me for Celtic. I think everyone could recognise that going into the game they're favourites, but not a lot of professional players or fans are playing on Astro. If you couple that with the weather, it becomes hotter, stickier, drier as a football pitch. But I mean, Celtic just play with that much intensity, they make it very difficult for teams, and Kilmarnock struggle with that. And just a constant energy and willpower to run in behind, and it only took 7 minutes to break the deadlock. And after that, it was a long afternoon for Kilmarnock.
Performance of the weekend should have been Ange Postecoglou for making it through that game with a shirt and tie on.
I'm surprised. To be fair, he took that woolly jumper off for a good reason, didn't he? Because it probably wasn't the weather for that.
Yeah. Ian, I was going to ask how confident you're feeling, but I think that's a stupid question, and I'm used to asking them. Andy Haldy's apparently getting 10 put past him at the weekend, so you're confident,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very confident in the season as well. And can I, just before I come back to my football point, I'm a big tennis fan. Leon, well done for appointing, bringing Andy back into the, or keeping him in the Davis Cup team, and good luck.
Leon's not going to leave him out, is he, Ian?
That was one of the easier picks, actually, but thanks for noticing.
Is it Murray or Halliday?
Certainly not me.
You want to see, this guy was dazzling with his tennis knowledge
in the office. I've actually got a fantastic double-handed backhand, but don't ask about myself because that's not great.
I was actually shocked before coming on. Andy was telling me he's even been out to Roland Garros to watch tennis.
Culture.
This guy's a proper tennis nut.
It was only a 2-day romantic trip, shall we call it, and somehow I still managed to take the missus to Roland Garros, so that didn't go down too well, but I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Ian, thank you very much for kicking us off. 01419511025, Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Paul, who's a Celtic fan. How would you sum up yesterday, Paul?
Yeah, hi, Gordon. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How would I sum up yesterday? I thought Celtic were on absolute fire. I thought that all the big players, they're all big players. From Greg Taylor, Starfelt, everybody is just, they're hitting a peak, they're hitting a level. They've been here for a year. I thought they were looking fantastic. Jota's on another level. My point tonight, Gordon, is I heard over the weekend we're talking about Celtic's strongest 11, and Gordon and the Mushroom were saying that they don't think Dyson Maeda would be in the starting 11. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to tell you why Dyson Maeda is in the starting 11 and why Ange Postecoglou will always play him. Maeda's totally unique. There's no another guy, another player like Maeda in the league. I don't know if there's another guy like him in Britain, to be honest. If you look at his numbers, he's like an Olympic sprinter. But he doesn't just do that going forward. He does it going back as well. The guy's an absolute Duracell bunny. He's unbelievable. And I think that he brings so much to the team. He drags so many. He puts other teams under so much pressure. He's maybe not the most creative, but I think his uniqueness. I think that's why he will always be one of the first names down in the team sheet.
Yeah, I saw he got the first two assists yesterday. I was having to catch up on the game later, and then when you see Jota's goal back, that's where the assist stat becomes a bit empty, isn't it? He rolls it to him and he goes and bangs it in the top corner.
You certainly take it, that's for sure.
You take it, absolutely. It's an interesting one, Andy, because we did have that debate last week. Maybe a bit of recency bias because Abada had come on and scored against Ross County.
But do you remember my answer?
You answered that. That's what I was about to give you praise, that you would have Maida in that team every time.
I just think he's so important to the way Ange Postecoglou wants to play. He's the first one that sets that press out of possession. In possession, I'm talking about Celtic's intensity. I don't think there's anyone that's more intense than Dizer Maida. And I mean, he's been at Celtic for over 6 months now. I've never seen him with a bead of sweat on his face. He's just, Paul described it as a Duracell bunny.
Bring him in here.
Yeah, definitely, because the temperature in here is certainly hotter than Rugby Park. But I mean, Duracell Bunny's probably a perfect way to describe it. He's just constant pressure, constant harrying, his intensity in and out of possession, and he must be a nightmare for defenders to play against.
Andrew doesn't like this first choice talk.
No, he doesn't, does he?
He likes all the squad thing, and in the squad we trust, etc. But for me, the team that started the season against Aberdeen, with the exception Carl Starfield wasn't fit, Starfield would come in alongside Carter Vickers.
Even though Moritz Jens is apparently a free scoring centre back.
Yeah, with Carter Vickers and Starfield. From the team yesterday, Hatate would come in for Turnbull. But Paul's right, that front three is the front three of choice for Ange Postecoglou. And if you want to know why, go back to the 3-0 Old Firm game in February and watch Dyson Maida's performance in that game, setting the tone with a high press, leading Celtic, you know, from the top end of the pitch. And Ange Postecoglou trusts him. He trusts him implicitly because he's worked with him in the past. And Paul's right, he would be one of the first names in the team sheet.
From a Celtic fan's perspective, Leon, I'm sure you've admired it, but from an athlete's perspective as well, I'm sure that's opened your eyes.
Yeah, I think his running, I mean, I'm not an expert in football, so I'm not going to comment on that, but I think you can just tell someone's work rate. And when someone's doing that in your team, Andy will know more than most, that it forces you into that as well. If you're seeing someone that's chasing down, getting that press, as you say, then others have got to follow. And he looks like, I'd imagine, on the training field, he's got pretty high standards as well.
Yeah, Paul, I wonder though, because it's quite easy, isn't it? We could talk about Jota most Mondays. There's every chance that will happen. But you said another name there in Greg Taylor. Jota then singled him out for praise, didn't he, at the weekend? He's gone back to his former club and in the game on Sunday. Is he starting to get the credit he deserves?
You know, God, Greg Taylor's one of these guys that people just have instantly got a bit of dislike to him, where it was a bit like Anthony Ralston as well. I can't honestly remember Greg Taylor ever having an absolute stinker. I can remember him knowing the best of games. Everybody doesn't have the best of games. I can't remember him making any clearing howling mistake, but he's just one of these guys. Is he no trendy? He's Scottish. I don't know. He's very workmanlike. I don't know. I think he's been great. I think he's been great for a while, to be honest. I think he probably just needed somebody. I think Big Ange is a guy. He'll get it. I think he'll get it. But if he can see somebody trying, he'll get the best out of Andy. But, I mean, if Greg Taylor was creation or whatever, you'd be saying what a player, you'd worried he was leaving. I think he's been great for a while, and I get anyway an open mind. I think we kind of with a wee bit down in the Scottish guys sometimes, but technically he's been brilliant. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes, you know, football fans love that sort of £6 million fullback signing with the international passport, and sometimes judge that little bit different to us local Scottish players. But for me, I still think that Greg Taylor's improved over the last sort of 2-3 seasons. I look back at the sort of Steve Clark, Greg Taylor, shall we call it, at Kilmarnock. You could see him as that sort of old school fullback, really solid defensively, great in 1v1 situations, didn't offer a full lot going forward. That had to improve if he's signed for Celtic. He's playing for a team that's got 70-75% possession week in, week out. I think you've seen the sort of product levels over the last couple of years in terms of his improvements going forward. I think it's been excellent, and I think he's another one that's had a great start to the season.
I think, Gordon, one thing went against Greg Taylor, and now one thing's going for him. The thing that went against him was he took over from Kieran Tierney. Now, Celtic had assigned Roberto Carlos at that stage, and some fans wouldn't have thought he was as good as Kieran Tierney. So Greg Taylor
had that, isn't he?
He had that mountain to climb. The thing that's gone for Greg Taylor is the style that Ange Postecoglou plays. Because Greg Taylor, as a kid, grew up, he's a midfield player, laterally moved back to left back. He is technically adept, as Andy says. He's good with the ball at his feet. And this, when Ange invites the fullbacks to step inside and busy up the midfield, that suits Greg Taylor because he's comfortable.
Thank you, Paul. What a week it's going to be. We're still looking back on the weekend's action, of course, but this time tomorrow, Ibrox will be simmering away nicely ahead of the visit of PSV Eindhoven. So whatever is on your mind, now is the time to share it. It's the perfect time to call 0141 951 1025 and we could be speaking to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here as always. We've got our special guest in tonight as well. Great Britain's Davis Cup captain Leon Smith has been in Glasgow announcing his team for the upcoming matches. I'm sure you've seen the news. Andy Murray's back in, strong looking team, and we'll get Leon's thoughts on that and of course all the football madness that we enjoy here on a Monday as the show goes on. 0141 951 1025. I think we were about to speak to Giovanni in Barrhead, and Chris and Govan both just suddenly disappeared. If you're listening, give us a call right now, call back in, and we'll get you on. Let's hear a bit.
Giovanni will be busy. Big game tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. Just
behave yourself, honestly. Sometimes the jokes are I'm going to blame you for the joke being so bad there that it took me
a joke.
Well, I'm not sure that Giovanni's in Barrhead just now.
Exactly. Yeah. What's wrong with Barrhead? Try to say he wouldn't live there.
Well, no, but all I'm saying is it's half six at night, and I know he doesn't live there.
He's changed since he moved to the West End, this guy. They are both phoning back in, incidentally. Let's hear a bit from Derek McInnes, who was on the receiving end of all the good things that you've been hearing about Celtic so far.
You know, there is a kind of feeling that our season starts now, to be honest. You know, and I don't mean that to be flippant. Think about it. We weren't expecting in against the Old Firm. We tried to be competitive. Even the day at half time, we spoke about the likelihood of getting it for the game was slim, but at least go and try and win the second half. And I thought we were far more competitive in the second half. So there's loads that we need to be better at, regardless who our opponent is. But certainly, we're not going to be tested like we've been tested the last couple of games. And that's clear. We're going to be able to show a different side to us. More in possession, more opportunities for us, more chances created. Enjoy the game more in possession. That will come, I'm pretty sure, the fixtures coming up. It still shouldn't be 5-0, even though we're not ready to take on a Celtic. That's where I'm disappointed with that the scoreline is 5-0. It's disappointing, embarrassed by it, but we need to dust ourselves down.
Potentially snap judgment time. Is the gap between Celtic and Rangers and the rest as big as it's been in a long time? As big as you can remember it?
Yes, it's certainly as big as it's been in a long time, yeah. I mean, you've seen a weekend there where Rangers win 4-0 on Saturday and Celtic win 5-0 on Sunday. This is not the last weekend of the season you will see scorelines like that, because, time to cover your ears, Andy. Hearts were really good last season, but you would think the pressure of having to play 8 European games between now and Christmas, Hearts might find it, you know, difficult to keep pace with the Old Firm the way they did last season. I think we'll still be best of the rest. We said that when we gave our predictions. But the gap between the big two and the rest will be wider this season.
He's disagreeing. I can see him shaking his head.
The disrespect to the Jambos, Roger. Oh, listen, obviously we all know how strong Celtic and Rangers are. You only need to look at the financial gap between the clubs to realise it's very hard to bridge that gap. But yeah, listen, I take on board what Derek McInnes was saying. I think it's always very difficult when, you know, two of your first three fixtures are against the Old Firm, but, you know, looking at one goal scored and in the first three and eight conceded doesn't make great reading. But I've tipped them to be my dark horse for the season, so I do think they've got the squad and the manager to turn it around.
The wee bit of pressure though, because, you know, you've got the Old Firm out the way, you now need to start winning games. You know, you looked at Ross County prior to the weekend there, you could see Malcolm McKay could say, well, we played Hearts at Tynecastle, we played really well and we were unlucky. And then we played Celtic up here and we scored a goal and, you know, we didn't get battered, so we're going to be okay. And then they go and lose at St Mirren and they're bottom of the league without a point. Kilmarnock go up to Ross County at the weekend, and if Kilmarnock were to lose that game, then suddenly, you know, the rationale that, oh, we've played the big two, doesn't look quite as good.
Let's bring in Chris and Govan and get his take along similar-ish lines. Chris, take it away.
Well, basically, obviously, over the weekend, we had Celtic put 5 past Kilmarnock, Hearts 4 past Dundee United, and Rangers 4 past St Johnstone. But do the panel actually think that these three teams, and I'm not, no disrespect to Andy Halliday there, but that these three teams can compete in either, well, Celtic Champions League, Rangers Europa or Champions League, and Hearts Europa or Conference League?
Well, I think Rangers showed last year they can certainly compete, more than compete, at Europa League level. The Champions League, for me, it sounds obvious, Chris, to say it's a step up, but it's quite a formidable step up. If you remember Brendan Rodgers' Celtic team against Barcelona and PSG, the last time Rangers were in Europe in the Champions League, they found it difficult as well. So, you know, the draw, and we're desperate for Rangers to join Celtic in it. It would be great for Scottish football, great for that coefficient we all talk about. Brings a bit of kudos to the national game. But they would be in pots 3 or 4, and they would, you know, you could come out of that in the same group as a Real Madrid and Liverpool, or in the same group as a, you know, Man City and Barcelona, something like that. It just shows you how difficult it is even to get third in the group and get into the latter stages of the Europa League. So yes, competitive Europa League, probably not as competitive as we would like yet in the Champions League.
I mean, the draw does play a big part in that. If you get two of the absolute superpowers, as that Brendan Rodgers team did, well, two seasons in a row, really, wasn't it?
And the way the draw is now put together, you're likely to get two of the superpowers.
I suppose there are one or two exceptions. Andy, what do you make of Chris's point?
Well, I just mentioned the financial gap between Hearts and the Old Firm. What about the financial gap between the Old Firm and these teams that Rodgers just mentioned? But, I mean, Rangers have competed in the Europa League extremely well for the last three seasons. Celtic have obviously struggled a little bit in Europe over the last few years, but under Ange Postecoglou, I don't think there's any doubt they're in a better place now going into Europe than they were last year. So time will tell to see how that will go, but I don't think there's any doubt you do need that luck of the draw, because some of the teams you can potentially face even in pot three now is ridiculous, really.
Leon, as a Celtic fan, how do you balance between the sort of the honour, the glamour of being in the top level of European football, but the trepidation that some of the fixtures can bring?
No, I think as a fan, you know, whether it's Celtic and also Rangers, you know, it gives us more football to watch. That's the great thing, and it's great matches to look forward to in the Champions League. But I think what you want is to be competitive enough. You know, you're not expecting against the likes of PSG or Barca to get those sort of results, but you want it not to be a battering, basically. You want to be competitive enough so that if you do get that third place and you get into the Europa League, that at least you can go on a run like we saw Rangers do. So that's it. For a Celtic fan, you're hoping to be competitive enough, but try and get a bit of respect and get a bit of a run in Europe.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, as I say, you boys are right. It is all about the luck of the draw. And as I say, I've obviously been looking at pots 1 and 2. Do you know, to be honest, I'm going to be brutally honest, I think if Celtic could get someone like Frankfurt, who are in a wee bit of a free fall, somebody in pot 2 like Tottenham, okay, they're not as good as Tottenham, I'm just trying to pick, you know, one of the weaker teams, because obviously Barcelona, Juve's in there, and someone like maybe Sporting Lisbon in pot 3, that's, you know, that's a group I could see Celtic in Europe after Christmas. As I said to your guy, the producer, as I said, I don't think Celtic at this moment are a Champions League team. I don't think Rangers are a Champions League team, and I do apologise, Andy. I don't think Hearts are a Europa League team. I think they could compete in the Conference League.
Country's right behind you for Thursday, though. This is the type of confidence we're trying to give you ahead of your trip.
Roger mentioned that sort of parachute. If you do finish third in that Europa League group, we've obviously got the fortune that we'll certainly have a great go at it on Thursday and next week, but we've got that parachute guaranteed European football till Christmas, and we're under no illusions. We're obviously facing a good team. They won the Swiss League last year by 16 points. I mean, Young Boys and Bao, these are teams that you've sort of associated in the Champions League over the last few years. Zurich beat them over a domestic campaign by 16 points, so they're certainly no mugs. I think they've lost a couple of their so-called best players, shall we say, from last year, and they've not actually started their domestic campaign very well. But we're in a good place ourselves, and we're certainly going to make a good go of it.
Every fan of every potential pot 4 club in Europe is doing what Chris has done. We want Eintracht Frankfurt, maybe Sevilla, Tottenham, and then maybe a Sporting Lisbon.
Do you trade one of them in though for Real Madrid, Leon? Is that the temptation?
There is a temptation to that, but you also want to progress. As much as it's nice having a glamour tie, I would rather progress.
You look at these big name teams as well that you can potentially face. That's been Rangers and Celtic's biggest European nights over the last number of years. You met Barcelona. I mean, you still talk about the Celtic Barcelona game now. Rangers certainly didn't want to draw Dortmund in the first knockout round last year. Managed to beat them over 2-0.
You could have Real Madrid, Liverpool, and Romelu Lukaku's Inter Milan, who are in pot 3.
We'll get to that in a couple of weeks. Let's thank Chris. Bring in Giovanni. What's your point tonight, Giovanni?
Hi. my point is, it's a comparison. Ange Postecoglou and Jock Stein. Now, I'm of the age to remember Jock Stein. Postecoglou came into Celtic completely unknown. Jock Stein, maybe not completely unknown because he'd done well at Dunfermline and Hibs. But the style of play Jock Stein adopted was this, get the wingers to the goal line and pull the ball back for Craig and Gemmell. Postecoglou's got Juranovic and Taylor, inverted fullbacks. There's a similarity there. Taylor, by the way, most improved player since last year. So I think there's a comparison there. It's early times yet for Ange, but I've never been excited. Even when Martin O'Neill was there, even when Rodgers was there, than I am just now with Celtic, because Postecoglou seems more genuine than they were ever. And he's obviously getting the back end of the board because we've spent an absolute fortune recently. Yeah, we raked some money in from players that we sold, but he spent money. Everybody's asked for, I think he has got. He's still looking to bring more players in, which adds to not only the outgoings, but the ongoing budget. And I just think everything's great for Celtic just now. Bring it on. And in terms of Europe, if we finish third, that's an improvement. We're still in Europe after Christmas.
Roger, what's your take? There's a lot there. I mean, that's quite the comparison.
Yeah, and
I don't know if you're is this maybe one for our elder statesman, Mr. Keevans?
Well, I won't go as far as Hugh would, because I can imagine what Hugh would say at this comparison. I'm always reticent to make comparisons, because football, we're in a different era now, and Celtic won a European Cup in 1967 by winning, I think it was, five games, you know, five different ties. Now, you need to get through a group stage, you then need to go to a last 16, a quarter final, a semi final, and things are so weighed against you just because of the financial disparity that Andy spoke about earlier on. You know, third place in a Champions League group for Celtic nowadays is almost as big an achievement as winning the thing in 1967 or getting to the final again in 1970. That's how heavily things are weighed against Scottish clubs in Europe.
Thank you, Giovanni. 01419511025. Rangers fans, how are you feeling? In exactly one day's time, we'll be about to kick off against PSV Eindhoven at Ibrox. I'm sure the atmosphere will be quite something. How are you feeling? Are you confident? How did the weekend set you up? What are you expecting team-wise? We'll give you some of the team news. We'll hear from the manager. We'll hear from you. And we'll get Leon to tell us a bit more about what's been happening in Glasgow today. We'll do it all next. Pick up the phone.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here at 01419511025. Let's hear from you, particularly at the moment, Rangers fans. It would be a great time to get involved. What a night it promises to be at Ibrox tomorrow. Get all of your pre-match thoughts over to us. I have been saying since the start of the show, though, we've got a special guest with us in the studio this evening. We've got Leon Smith, GB's Davis Cup captain, who has got some exciting stuff coming up. He's a big fan of the show. He loves his football. That's why he's here. But in particular, more importantly than all of that, he has picked the latest Davis Cup team today, and the matches are going to be here in Glasgow. Now, we always try and support any big sporting event that goes on in this city. Andy Murray's been named in the team for the first time since 2019. Other household names in there: Cameron Norrie, Dan Evans, Joe Salisbury in there as well. He's to pick one more member of the team, playing United States, Kazakhstan, Netherlands, and Leon, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, we can't wait. I mean, we had amazing memories from playing in the Emirates Arena back in 2015.
It was great, wasn't it? I was there.
Oh, you were there. We're talking about that. And I mean, the atmosphere was fantastic. Think of the, you know, the tennis court in an indoor hall with 8 or 9,000 people going mad from the start to the finish. It's something different. It makes a big difference to have the home fans, of course. We know that. And the new format where you've got a round robin now that we kick off against the USA in midweek. And then we've got Netherlands on the Friday, and then Kazakhstan. But we've got a good team. We just listed them. You know, it's great to have Andy back in, you know, right at the start of the year. I was talking to him about this and he wanted to be part of it. Cam Norrie, you know, just made semi-finals of Wimbledon. He's 10 in the world. We've got Dan Evans, who, you know, it's been top 20, top 25. Joe Salisbury's still the number one ranked doubles player in the world. And we've still got another place to fill. And we've got guys like Jack Draper, who's burst into the scene. Jamie Murray, let's not forget, as well. Neil Skupski just won Montreal Masters Series last night. So the one thing that's definitely going to go on as well, though, there's a bit of a rivalry with the football club.
Well, I was thinking that, right, you know, we've been talking football, we've said you're a big Celtic man, but Cam Norrie's big Rangers fan, is his family as well?
Yeah, he is. I mean, I
check the scores together.
Well, we were talking earlier that Andy went to Roland Garros, he would have liked it this year. I turned up and Cam Norrie's dad David's there at Roland Garros to watch his son, and he's got this special edition Rangers white, I think it's a white strip that was on, and he's getting selfies with me, loving it. So he's a big Rangers fan. So Cam wants to go to the Rangers game. I'll probably want to go to Celtic game. I'll have to look at the fixtures and we'll probably try and force each other to go along to each of the games.
Must be great. And he gets to pick the team, he gets to pick the venue just opposite Celtic Park because it's nice and handy. It starts 10 days after the Old Firm game. Are you worried Celtic win and Cam Norrie refuses to play for you?
This could be an issue. So look, the saving grace is we've got Andy Murray, who's a Hibs fan, so we've always got that to sort of fall back on. So there might be so we can always revert back to teeing off on him.
They're
basically
not having a great time, and Andy Halliday's obviously nodding away because that's music to his ears and the Hearts fans out there as well. So yeah, well, in fact, we had Jamie in, didn't we?
Well, we did have Jamie in, and we always remember.
I hated that night in a roundabout
way.
We
always remember having Jamie in because Jamie announced that night that as a child he had a Panini football sticker of Gordon DL, and that was how he recognised Gordon DL in the studio.
Honestly,
I take it you had one of Mark Wilson as a Celtic fan.
I would have, but that's a real low moment for Jamie, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, there's one thing having it, but there's another thing saying it.
Just
keep it to yourself.
On Gordon's face, right, because Jamie's walked in and he just took the mic and straight away he's looked at Gordon and he went, "I remember you from the Panini sticker album in the mid-90s
What a memory that is.
I mean, he would have tried to have traded that off. He just couldn't get rid of it, could he?
I think
Judy liked it lying about the house.
That's enough, right? 01419511025. But look, we love supporting sporting events in Glasgow. I'm sure fans out there who are listening can get tickets, can go along.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, we want as many fans here as possible, and it's a great opportunity for kids. The kids' tickets are starting at £5, which is a great opportunity to get along. Just sign up at lta.org.uk/Davis Cup tickets. It'd be great to have your support.
Brilliant. I'm sure we'll talk more about that as the show progresses. We're definitely going to keep Leon involved in the football discussion as well. I will find many tennis football crossovers between now and 8 o'clock. That is the challenge. Let's hear from Giovanni van Bronckhorst, because it's quite a big week, in case you hadn't noticed. Rangers fans, he says, having the first leg of the PSV game at home won't make that much difference to their chances of progression. This, of course, is a Rangers team that's built a lot of its European success on doing things the other way around, going away, maybe not performing brilliantly, and then getting the business done at Ibrox. But he's looking forward to the challenge.
The fans are a big influence, so if you play away from home and the support is like really, really there, it's a different environment. So we've seen all the teams who came here who felt that. We have to make sure that our performance is there tomorrow, and I think combined with the atmosphere, Ibrox is always on European nights. You know, we should have a good result, but we have to make taking in account the quality of the opponent. Every game I played at home, because I came, of course, in November, but the first game I played was against Sparta Prague at home, Europa League, and the atmosphere was fantastic. Every game we played after that, I think the atmosphere is there, so I have no doubt in my mind that tomorrow will be the same.
What do you think, Rangers fans? How much difference does it make having the ties this way around? It shouldn't be unfamiliar, but it just seems that Rangers have had it the opposite quite a few times and made it successful. Andy, you buy into any of that?
I mean, you look at the three sort of big European nights last year, Braga, Dortmund, Leipzig, all of them were the same. It was the second leg at Ibrox, and Rangers really using that home support as a 12th man, and the other teams found it difficult. But I mean, at the end of the day, you have to play both teams at both legs. I think Rangers' approach will still be the same. They'll try and look to get a positive result tomorrow night against a very good PSV side. But for me, Rangers have showed they can more than compete in this competition over the last few years.
What do you think, Roger? Because you'd need to add Union to that list really as well, given what just happened in the last couple of weeks. Like, it's not the only way of doing it. Giovanni van Bronckhorst given other examples, and he's been very pragmatic, but it has been a formula that's been successful for Rangers.
Listen, traditionally we used to talk about you always want the second leg at home, but I think a lot of that was in the days of the away goals rule. You know, you went away from home and you tried to get a 0-0 tried to get a 1-1 or something and then come back and keep a clean sheet. Nowadays, I'm not so sure the difference is as big as it once was. You saw it last year, the way they just put away Red Star Belgrade and then went over to Serbia and saw that out. And I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. I think we've got two very evenly matched teams, to be honest with you. They're both big fish, if you like, in small ponds. PSV and Ajax will go for that Dutch title the same way Rangers and Celtic go for the Scottish title. You saw PSV scoring 5 away from home on Saturday night, just after Rangers had scored 4 at home. Very similar sides, very similar managers. It could come down to one moment of magic, hopefully not one mistake or one dodgy refereeing decision. And listen, it really is that close, and I don't think it will be settled till very late in the game in the Phillips Stadion next week.
I think the main benefit now, the second leg being at home, is the potential extra time, because it is just that extra 30 minutes of football, and being at home will give you that extra advantage. But like I said, I do feel as if Rangers will continue that same approach and try and get a positive result tomorrow night.
See, home crowd. That's why Leon Smith's looking forward to playing in Glasgow in the not too distant future. Let's bring in Carolyn, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. What are you thinking about tomorrow, Carolyn? Home game first and all that. Are you feeling confident?
I am feeling quite confident. I think Rangers are pretty fearless at the moment. I think they've got so much confidence built up. I mean, we've only just started back with the season, and there's a lot of new players coming through the door, like Tillman, Matondo, Colac and stuff like that. I mean, I was at the game at the weekend and I thought the performance of the front line was actually a lot stronger than it's been. I don't think it should matter if you're a professional football player. You know what I mean? You should be able to get there no matter where it is. I know people are talking about, so it's not their ground and all that, but I think the performance, I think they're up for it, Rangers. I think they'll be blazing when they get there, and we've got the home support. The atmosphere is absolutely fantastic there.
Yeah, it's interesting, Carolyn, you know, taking some of the optimism from the weekend, Andy. Often on a Monday we pour over everything that's happened at the weekend. It's quite hard because a lot of Rangers fans are now quickly looking forward rather than back. But although the challenge is very different, does Saturday just help get you in a good place? And Carolyn's rhymed off some individuals as well who might be benefiting.
I think so, because I think it's the best 90 minute performance Rangers have had so far this season, and to be honest, I include USG in that, because I still think for the first half of the USG game at home, Rangers weren't at their best, but more than comfortable enough to go through to the next round. But I thought against St Johnstone extremely comfortable. The biggest surprise for me, to be honest, was seeing that the possession stat was only 71%, because it just felt as if Rangers had complete control of the full 90 minutes. I think the only question mark so far, which isn't necessarily a bad one for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, but I think right now he doesn't know his best 11, and I think that's only because there's been a lot of new signings. Some of them are still not really back to full fitness yet. Yilmaz is only just in the door over a week ago, but I look at the likes of Malik Thielman, he seems to me as if he's going to be a real, real find. I think he's been really, really good. I think he's been the standout Rangers performer over the last few games. I think Tom Lawrence has fitted in really well now. Cholak's 3 goals in 3. So I think there's some selection headaches there, but I think they're in a good place going into tomorrow night.
It's quite a race between those three, Roger, to be the favourite of the new signings amongst the Rangers fans so far. Because as Andy says, Cholak's a number 9, can't really argue with that goal return. Tom Lawrence is doing his bit. Malik Tillman maybe just edging the other two in the fans' favourite stakes.
Well, I think given that in the fan zones round about the stadium on Saturday they were having the Malik Tillman heading challenge, I think he is the fans' favourite at the minute. That clincher against USG last week, the first goal against St Johnstone at the weekend, he's the one who's probably settled in better than the rest. And Lawrence and Cholak have done well. And a few, you know, Ben Davis came in for his first start. I would anticipate he would probably start again tomorrow night.
Any early team thoughts, Carolyn?
You know, what I will say is, I'm going to, you just talk about Ben Davis here. What I'll say is, I just hope Sands doesn't start. I'm not impressed with him at all, sitting on the left hand side where play centre back with Golston. I just think he's just a wee bit of liability. I don't know if he's just not gelling right. I don't know if his head's down. But the performance I've seen in the last couple of games, no, I'd put Ben Davis in any day.
Everyone is available, but Ben Davis didn't train today. I noticed that. But like I said, the manager said everyone is available. That's not an issue. He'll be available. Ryan Kent was back after being rested at the weekend. Fredo Morelos was there.
Yeah, I think Ryan Kent, the return of Ryan Kent is really, really positive. I think you look at the Rangers team, and I think the big question mark is that sort of second centre-half at the moment. I think already there's been a different centre-half every single game. You know, John Suter's been there, who Picked up a knock after the game at Livingston. Ben Davies has played and Sands has played, and I think Philip Palander's just returned from injury, is that correct? So I think that is a position where going into the game tomorrow, I'm not sure who he's going to go for.
Who plays next to Lundstrom?
I think it will be Ryan Jack. I think Glenn Kamara quite often has got the nod in these European fixtures, but I think that he wasn't at his best the last game, but I thought Ryan Jack was really good on Saturday. Am I wrong in saying that Stephen Davis has picked up a knock? Is that?
I think I saw him train today.
Oh, he trained?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably 50-50.
I'm pretty sure the manager said everyone was available. It's going to be an interesting build up. I'm sure we'll debate that more on tomorrow night's show as well. Carolyn, thank you very much. That was Carolyn in Maryhill. 01419511025. The quickest first hour I can remember. It takes us up already to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Should we make Leon Smith play Beat the Pundit?
Now, I've got
Don't
an idea.
Don't be so ridiculous.
I have got an idea. Normally, if the callers come on a Monday night and they beat me or they beat Andy Halliday, they get a signed ball. How's about if they beat Leon Smith, they get a signed ball? Do you do tickets for the Davis Cup?
Yeah.
Couple of tickets for the Davis Cup as well.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
We've got Andy in London phoning to take part. I would like that. Imagine one of them phoned in to embarrass him and his football knowledge.
This would be carnage. Will he be in Andy London? Knows what it's like in the team sport.
Is he London?
Yeah, he's
based?
London, yeah.
I'm glad I got that reference.
It's alright, he's in the States just now. He's about to play against Dan Wawrinka very shortly.
It's a tough fixture. He'll put that to one side for us. Anyway, 01419511025. Lines close at 7, so be quick and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
Headlines 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here at 01419511025. Our special guest Leon Smith, Great Britain's Davis Cup captain, is still here. We've not scared him away. He loves the show that much. I think he's going to stay to the end.
I almost did a runner there when you suggested I do the Beat the Pundit that Roger suggested, but we're going to come up with a different solution.
See.
I think
we'll see. Andy Murray's still not called in yet. I'm a little bit disappointed, no offence Leon, but I was kind of
hoping
that's...
lucky the fact that there's no three-headed coin, so
I was kind of hoping that's the direction this would head in, but we'll see. Anyway, it is that time of the night. Rangers fans, we're building up to tomorrow night's game. What are your thoughts? Home advantage first rather than second? Team thoughts, optimism, nerves, whatever it is, share it. Celtic fans, looking back on yesterday, an eye-catching performance. Must be some Motherwell fans out there. Come on, Stevie Hamill, club legend, doing that on his first official game in charge. Whatever is on your mind, now's the time to share it. We'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on then. Let's do it. We've got Stephen and Pollock on the line. How's it going, Stephen?
How you doing, Gordon?
Now, Stephen, I always admire the bravery of people who phone in on a Monday. Roger Hanna's so good, he starts on minus one. Andy Halliday's so good, he's lost once in his entire Super Scoreboard career. But the big boys need to be toppled at some point, don't they?
Aye, bring it on.
Bring it on. I like your style, Stephen. Are we up to two? Did we get a second victory for the listeners this season last week? I can't remember. Yeah, I think we did. I think we got a tiebreaker. Yeah, we did. So we're finally motoring along. We did also have our first zero from the listeners last week, though, I should say. No pressure, Stephen. Don't do that to me, will you?
Hopefully not.
Good. I'm going to put out there easy questions tonight. Oh. Producer Callum spent the last couple of days in Amsterdam. Then he saw his team lose again at the weekend. I think he's just
fed up.
With everything. I think he's taking his eye off the ball. These are easy. So speed is going to be key. Heads, it'll be Roger. Tails, it's Andy. And it is Andy Halliday up against Stephen from Pollock. So what we do in this instance, Stephen,
get the tunes on.
Is we get the tunes on for Andy. Give him something else to listen to, and that way he can't hear what is going on in here. So Stephen, pretty straightforward. Just in the 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and you're welcome to pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Right, okay, no worries.
Right, top man, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's opener at Rugby Park yesterday?
Kyogo.
What team did Rangers face in the 2008 UEFA Cup final?
Zenit St. Petersburg.
Name the only Scotsman who started for Brentford against Man U at the weekend.
Hickey.
How many Scottish clubs has Kyle Lafferty played for?
Three.
Who captained St. Mirren to their 2013 League Cup victory?
I'm good, done.
Name any current Scottish Premiership manager who never played professionally for a Scottish club.
Pass.
Who's won Hearts Player of the Year for the last two seasons?
Craig Gordon.
Okay. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes.
You're going to need to be good. You're going to need to be fast.
You say that every
week. No, I mean it. Sometimes I say it for dramatic effect. Sometimes I mean it. Tonight is one of those nights. Ready?
Yep, let's go.
Okay, same questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's opener at Rugby Park yesterday? Which team did Rangers face in the 2008 UEFA Cup final?
Zenit.
Name the only Scotsman who started for Brentford when they beat Man U on Saturday. How many Scottish clubs has Kyle Lafferty played for?
Three.
Who captained St Mirren to their 2013 League Cup victory?
John McGinn.
Name any current Scottish Premiership manager who's never played professionally for a Scottish club.
And Postecoglou.
Who won Hearts Player of the Year for the last two seasons?
Craig Gordon.
And who is currently the manager of Raith Rovers?
John McGlynn.
Since the Scottish Premiership era started, name the only player to win back-to-back Golden Boots. Quickly. Quick. Time up.
Chris Boyd.
Stephen.
Oh, I said Chris Boyd.
How do you think that went?
Oh, I think he's done his one.
What a game it was.
John McGlynn's a terrible shout.
You were both brilliant. And then I noticed, you know, one got one question right. And anyway, don't let me spoil it. What a match that was. Game of the... Listen, you two.
Sorry.
Just stop whispering at
apologies.
The back of the class there, will you? Turn these mics off. Very rude. Anyway, Leon, how was that to watch in full flow?
Well, the first thing I confirm is that it's definitely music on. You cannot hear.
Oh, so you were listening with Andy.
No, but yeah, I always wonder, is it actually... drowned out, and yeah. It is.
Oh,
officially.
We're an honest bunch. Let's find out what a game it was. Game of the season so far. Celtic's opener, Kyogo, 1-1. Rangers against Zenit 2008, 2-2. Aaron Hickey, more about him in a minute, 3-3. Kyle Lafferty played for Rangers, Hearts, and Kilmarnock, 4-4. Who captained St Mirren to their 2013 League Cup final victory? Jim Goodwin, not John McGinn. Stephen and Pollock got it. He was 4-3 in front. Name any current Scottish Premiership manager who's never played professionally for a Scottish club. Ange Postecoglou or
David Martindale.
Stephen Robinson.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I guess he would need to be in there as well. Yeah. I don't know why I've only got two in my sheet. Equaliser Andy Halliday. Stephen never got it.
Oh, Stephen. Yeah.
You were kicking yourself, Stephen.
No, I will.
Equaliser.
Well, Murray Rovers is definitely wrong.
Yes, who's the... And that's the thing, right? This is where Hearts Player of the Year was Craig Gordon. You both got it, so we're level. And I thought it's advantage Halliday. Like that. See what I did there, Leon? Yeah, wee tennis pun there.
Well done.
Because Stephen ran out of time. Who is the manager of Raith Rovers?
Ian John Murray.
McLean.
Yeah,
Ian Murray. And you even got another question. Since the Premiership era started, who's the only player to win back-to-back Golden Boots?
I would have said Chris
Boyd. It's Odson Edwards.
Is it really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Which means we're going to the tiebreaker.
What's the score?
6-6-6-0. I don't know if we've ever had a 6-0.
Nah, good game, Stephen. I like
it's Motherwell against Hibs from all those years ago. Right, your only defeat on this show came in a tiebreaker. Sorry to point that.
Let's go. I'm not getting great records for tiebreakers.
You don't, right? So I'll read the question. I can't wait to see you try and tackle
another
this.
Tennis pun.
indeed. We're going to the tiebreaker.
That's quite good. Going to a tiebreaker at 6-0. It's great, isn't it?
This is dreamy stuff. Perfect.
Honestly,
fair play. It's great game.
Producer
Enjoy
Chris
it.
Is bringing the juice in for you because you're a bit thirsty. No, is that 10? I'll move on. Forget that. I'll get my jacket. Right. Here's the question. Oh wow, can't wait to see you tackle this.
You're looking at me because you know it's one of our weaknesses.
This is Andy's weakness, this. I'm going to require you to be quick, both of you, right? Because I don't want any cheating. How many minutes did Callum McGregor play in the Scottish top flight last season?
That's
go,
ridiculous.
Just write it down and stop your moaning. Quick, how many minutes did Callum McGregor play in the Scottish top flight last season? Show me your bit of paper, please, Andy Halliday.
Not a clue.
Just show me the paper.
I've showed you.
Right, okay. Stephen, what are you going for?
2,000.
No, I've won that, surely.
I'm so glad that these are numbers I can handle, because I was panicking, thinking I was going to need to go to the calculator here. Stephen's gone 2,000. Andy's gone 4,000. And Andy thinks he's won, but the answer is 2,406.
Wow.
Well done, Stephen. And Pollock.
Oh, yes, look at Leon's.
A lucky Andy boy.
Well done, Stephen.
Leon, what did you write down?
2,750.
Wow. Stephen, that's only the second time in history that Andy Halliday has lost at Beat the Pundit. Well done to you.
I've asked to be back only one again as well.
He's getting
well
carried
done,
away.
Stephen.
Brilliant, Stephen. Well done. The sign
Stephen.
Ball's on its way.
No worries, cheers, thanks very much.
Brilliant, there we are.
That Ian Murray that will haunt me the night.
John McGinn and John McGlynn, they've done you in.
John McGinn, I actually did think was the captain, but Ian Murray's, that will haunt me, for sure.
Oh, honest.
But it was a good game. Fair play. Six all's not a bad score at all.
Yeah, you don't mind that. Don't mind that at all. 0141 951 1025. PSV Eindhoven have been doing their press conference this evening, so I'll bring you the very latest from that. It'll be hot off the press, so to speak. I don't know if that is the right phrase when you're going to hear it rather than read it, but you catch my drift. We'll hopefully bring you anything that was interesting from that very soon indeed. More talking points from the weekend. There are loads of them, so come on, get your thoughts in. Motherwell fans, St Mirren fans, Hearts, Hibs, whoever is out there, pick up that phone and let us know what's on your mind. We do have Leon Smith with us as well to talk all things football and Davis Cup. Let's go to James, who's a Celtic fan on the line. What's your point tonight, James?
Good evening, lads. I'd like to talk about Celtic's back line, the back four. Mm-hmm. As you know, we're coming out of the Champions League, and this is where I feel we might fall down. Do you think the Starfelt, Gutter Vickers and the new signing all play together at the back at one time? I think they could. It's hopefully strengthened by back four, but we need to grab somebody in order for them to play. And I've got a point about David Turnbull.
It would be very un-Ange Postecoglou-like, wouldn't it, Roger?
Yeah, it would. Ange has set out his Celtic team the same way at the start of every single game that he's taken charge. I saw a statistic last week that surprised me. I think Kyogo and Giacomakis have only played together for about 113 minutes in a year.
And put that as a tiebreaker tomorrow, by the way.
Because it's, you know, 4-3-3. And I know Celtic fans, they're still smarting a little bit from that Barcelona and PSG year that we spoke about earlier in the show under Brendan Rodgers. I'm not going to say Ange's team are going to do better than that. But what I would say is, I think despite the fact it's a very similar formation, I think they play a different way. I think they play a stronger press. I think they play more compact unit, and the way Ange puts the team out, I think is less likely to suffer defeats like that against European sides. They'll run faster,
they conceded a few in the last season, didn't they?
Yeah,
in Europe.
But again, you know, you look at last season, you look at this season, I think one of the corners said earlier on, they're a year into the revolution now, and I think the way they've started this season, they look better than they looked last
season. Celtic likely to go three at the back at any point, Andy?
No, can't see it. No, I actually speculated that going into Europe last year, and Ange Postecoglou quickly shut that down because, yeah, continued the same way, same brand of football, same style. But I think a big thing, I think that early Ange Postecoglou era, Celtic seemed as if they had a weakness for set pieces. That was the way it looked for me from the outside. In Europe, they conceded a few goals for set pieces. I think they've been a lot stronger with that the last 6 months of last season. Even look at this season, the first three games, they've scored a goal from a set piece in every single game. So I do think that through time and getting used to Ange Postecoglou's system, I think they're certainly better coped defensively than they were when they played in Europe last year.
What do you think, James? I don't think the guys are suggesting it's a bad idea. It's just more that Ange Postecoglou seems very set in his ways. Does it seem likely that he would change?
Well, I would like to think so. I know I'm enjoying watching Celtic attacking, but this time, like, I'm not against the best in Europe, the cream of the crop, and I don't want it to get mauled. I just think it might surprise people and go a wee bit more defensive and not play this attacking game. If you get Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, they'll rip us apart. So the more you've got good quality players in the back three, along with the two, the right back, Juranovic, Taylor left back, it makes us look a wee bit more stronger, where hopefully we'll not concede more goals, guys. If we play the way Ange wants to play, I'm hoping that Disney happened, but we could end up with some thumpings. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. He actually got asked this in an interview last year. Would you change? Would you adapt your style? And his simple answer was, I don't know how to coach that. That's not my style of coaching. So you won't see me sort of sway across my ideas. Listen, I don't think they're going to be as expansive as they are going to Rugby Park if they do come against a Barcelona. But I don't see them going to an ultra-defensive low block. I just don't think it's his style.
Equally as well, if you play three at the back, it inevitably pushes your full-backs into the wider areas. If you look at the Celtic full-backs, the way Ange plays, he brings them infield. He brings them in to try and, you know, make the team more compact, try and get in closer to Callum McGregor in the pivot role. Changing to a three at the back is just sort of against everything that he's done so far. But they'll be competitive. I'm not saying Celtic are going to do this or going to do that in Europe. they will be competitive because they work very, very hard. I saw some of the most alarming stat I saw of the weekend, or the most interesting stat I saw at the weekend, were how far the players had run, the players of Brentford and Manchester United. And I think person at the weekend, the Brentford players ran 1.5 kilometres more than each Manchester United player in the game. If you do that, you're going to be competitive.
Did you see Eric Ten Hag's response to that? That Man U ran 13.8 kilometres the next day in training because that was the difference between them and Brentford the day before. Not bad.
See, on one hand I'm torn because it does make for a good discussion, but Roger Hannah's just described that as the most interesting thing he saw all weekend, which, I don't know, maybe says more about Roger Hannah's weekends than anyone else. But listen, not for me to judge. You know, if your old pal DL was here, wow, he would have great fun with that statement.
DL actually ran 13.8 kilometres
in his career. Yeah, I was going to say. And in fact, he did a fair bit of running in here on Saturday. Oh, the quickest I've seen him move.
I heard he was unwell.
Yeah, he had an upset stomach. So he was in and out of this studio often. I thought he was doing the bleep test in and out that door. Yeah, he survived though. Well done to him. He was taking some sort of rehydration sachet over in the corner.
I think they're in the next shelf to you.
Let's move on, James.
Next aisle, I think.
James, I know you had another point to make, so don't let our nonsense stop you.
I don't like bringing up the subject of David Turnbull, but I thought yesterday again, he let his doing. His passing was horrendous. His shooting was worse. I criticised him last year in Europe where he gave away 2 goals where he'd missed the player for Tiermark. He's shooting in man of the games in Europe and 120 minutes advance shot. He doesn't appear up. I ask yourself, lads, when has David Turnbull ever had a good review against Rangers? He's never. I don't know where the boy goes missing or he hides or the game's too much for him. I think he's overrated, and if it wasn't for the Japanese boy being injured, David Turnbull wouldn't have started on Sunday. I don't know what's happened to the boy. When he gets the ball, he goes forward, then he stops, and he goes to the side, and then he stops and hits it back the way. 3 times yesterday I watched him in the middle of the park. Need to run him. Instead of going forward, try to get a pass. What does he do? He hits it back the way. What has happened to David Turnbull? This is supposed to be the season for him. I don't see it, guys. I don't think he's good enough to get a jersey.
Andy?
Well, the reason I love that question, James, is because you've mentioned it in front of the guy that created the David Turnbull fan club.
Roger Hannah.
And it's not Roger Hannah, that's for sure. It's Gordon Duncan. So, listen, I'm sure he doesn't agree with me. But to be honest, I don't agree with you. I think to say he's overrated is a bit harsh. I actually think his first full season at Celtic, I thought he was Celtic's best player. In the season it was played behind closed doors. I thought last year his contribution any time he played was good. Listen, he didn't have the best of games at the weekend, but I think his output any time he's pulled on a Celtic jersey has been good.
People always talk about numbers, don't they, Roger Hannah? His numbers tend to be good.
Well, listen, we're going back to what we said earlier on. Ange doesn't like the chat of first choice, and to an extent James is right. The first choice midfield is McGregor, Hatate and O'Reilly. Hatate's injured, so Turnbull comes into the team. I think where David Turnbull is slightly unfortunate, it's where Greg Taylor has been unfortunate in the past. He's not fashionable. He's Scottish. He was signed from a Scottish... I nearly said a wee Scottish club just to annoy you.
That's plenty.
He was signed from another Scottish club. And he's a good player. He's a Scotland international. When Hatate's out, he gets picked by Ange Postecoglou. And sometimes I just think the Celtic support, you know, if he was... if he'd been signed from Bologna or Nice or Rayo Vallecano, he might get more of a decent press.
What a niche list that was. Leon,
came from
Celtic fan in here as well, adding an extra opinion. What's your take on James's criticism?
Yeah, he might not have had a good game at the weekend, but you know, he was one of the most sought after Scottish players for a number of years, and you know, Celtic went far to go and get him, and he's still a longer term prospect for the team, and he was bought in for someone for the future. I guess his challenge is going to be, like a lot of players, is getting game time when Hatate comes back, that Hatate's going to come straight back in, and Turnbull's going to have to find a way to try and get minutes in the park.
And he's still ahead of Aaron Moy, James McCarthy, Yusuke Yeriguchi. You know, he's on the cusp of being a first team regular.
Thank you, James. So 01419511025. We are going to go live, I think. That would be the hope, to Andrew McLean, who's been at the PSV Eindhoven press conference. We'll hear from him. He'll let us know what Ruud van Nistelrooy had to say. Have we ever heard from Ruud van Nistelrooy on Super Scoreboard? I'm not sure. We're about to, and we'll take more of your calls next.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday's here, Roger Hannah as well, our special guest Leon Smith, Britain's Davis Cup captain, still with us in the studio as well, and all waiting for you to pick up that phone. It's 0141 951 1025. I'm hoping we're going to speak to Andrew McLean, who is a reporter. He's been at the PSV Eindhoven press conference ahead of that game tomorrow night, so we're looking forward to that. Let me set up tonight's full time teaser and see how we get on with that. Just a reminder, it's fulltime@clyde1.com to send it in. fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send a question in. Now, this one's been sent in by Stephen McCara. And Stephen, I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. This question nearly got blown apart during the break. Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah started talking about essentially your question, and it made me very nervous because I thought this whole next section of the show is not going to work. Stephen's question tonight: since 99-2000, Rangers have had 11 different scorers against Dutch opposition. Can you name those scorers? You two are going to demolish this question. Yeah. Since 99-2000, Rangers have had 11 different scorers against Dutch opposition. Can you name them? Give me one each to kick us off.
Amoruso.
Against PSV in 99. Michael Moles. Say that again with your mic on this time.
Michael Moles.
Michael Moles. One more then, Andy.
Albert's in the return leg.
Yes, PSV. That's too easy for these guys. They're anoraks. They're absolute anoraks. Anyway, fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send your questions in. We'd love to have them. Whatever the topic, if you've got a theme or whatever, please send them in and we'll try our best to get them on the show. Let's speak to our reporter Andrew McLean, who's just been at the PSV Eindhoven press conference. How's it going, Andrew?
Yeah, all good, all good. Just out of the press conference here with Ruud van Nistelrooy and Luke de Jong as well, the PSV striker. And you know, it's always interesting when Celtic and Rangers are in these big European games and coming up against big teams. Sometimes, you know, it's massive names in terms of teams, sometimes it's big players you see, and this time it's a big name in terms of the manager as well, Ruud van Nistelrooy. I don't need to tell everyone what Ruud van Nistelrooy has done in his career. Countless goals for Manchester United, Real Madrid, the Netherlands as well. You look at you know, his goal scoring record, his trophies. He's a big, big name, and he's here to take his PSV side to Ibrox. Asked plenty of questions, both in Dutch and in English, ahead of this one. And he was asked about the atmosphere that he's going to experience tomorrow at Ibrox, and he says he's told his players all about that atmosphere because he's played at Ibrox himself, but he also says he's aware of the quality in the Rangers side as well.
Of course, I share my experiences of how the atmosphere will be, because I said it many times before, it's a special fan base here, and they support their team in an unbelievable way, as our own fans do, because you saw our fans as well. They lifted us, they carried us through the extra time, and that really gave us wings, you know, because we had a hard time at home, and we had to equalize in the last minute to get into extra time and then win it, and that was that support. So we know what it's like to be supported in this way, and that's why we also can relate to the support here and what it does to a team. So in that sense, we are prepared. But above all that, I see a squad of fantastic players for Rangers. I see young lads and experienced players playing very well together in a very recognizable style under Gio, and the team is developing, you know, from a Europa League final, very close to winning it. It's of course an amazing achievement, and they're building on that.
Any Champions League playoff involving a Scottish team is a great occasion, Andrew McLean. It speaks for itself because of the incentive. But when you add in, like you said, it's PSV, it's Ruud van Nistelrooy, they would speak for themselves. But of course, former teammate of the Rangers manager, there's just so much surrounding this fixture that is going to make for a good occasion.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to rack my brain. You'll rarely see a fixture that you'll have two players, or two managers, sorry, with such international pedigree when it comes to their playing career. You've got Ruud van Nistelrooy, who 70 caps for the Netherlands, scored 35 goals. Giovanni van Bronckhorst was a mainstay in the Netherlands side for years and years as a legend of their national team as well. The two of them not only have played together for a long, long time, I think they even roomed together at times. So it's always interesting to hear what these big names have to say ahead of a game like this. Ruud van Nistelrooy was, of course, asked about Giovanni van Bronckhorst. He says they're great friends, but he said that's all going to be parked for the next week or so.
No, we can meet at other times for dinner and hang out. And tomorrow we both are defending our own badges, and that's the way it is. You know, when you face a friend as a team, as a player, then you know you only want one thing, is your team to win. That will be tomorrow as well, the case.
Squad-wise, are they fully fit, Andrew? Was there any discussion about who's available and who's not?
Yeah, it looks as if they've got a fully fit squad. There was question marks, certainly, in the lead-up to this game about Cody Gakpo, who is one of their star players, a young talent who can play across the front three. He's been linked with Manchester United, a £35 million fee for him. They certainly need some players up top, Manchester United, at the moment. But he is fit, he's available, he's going to play in this game. Ruud van Nistelrooy saying that that's the only thing they're focusing on at the moment. No transfer talk or anything. So Cody Gakpo is fit, but they've got plenty of talent in that squad. PSV at the moment, young Xavi Simmons, who has signed from PSG this summer, who is one of the sort of best young players coming through in world football at the moment. I think he scored a couple of goals at the weekend. Joey Veerman is a Dutch midfielder who's been linked with Rangers previously as well. So there's a lot of talent in that PSV side, and they're all fit and ready to go for tomorrow night.
Yeah, look, Roger, it's, as I said, Champions League playoff speaks for itself, but it's just got all the ingredients, so many different factors there, and Andrew McLean's touched on a few of them.
Yeah, and the most interesting one is the two managers, the dynamic of the two of them. Van Bronckhorst, Van Nistelrooy played against each other in the Champions League at Ibrox in 99. Van Nistelrooy scored, but Van Bronckhorst won. Dutch international teammates, I think they've played against each other in England, they've played against each other in Spain, they've got 45 times or something together for the Netherlands. That's a really interesting dynamic. Joey Veerman, once interested Rangers. Xavi Simmons, once interested Rangers. There's not going to be much between these teams, Gordon. And there's a £40 million prize at stake. Someone's going to be disappointed, and it would be great for Scottish football if it was PSV and they were disappointed.
Yeah, and Andrew quite rightly pointed out the key men. I think Cody Gakpo, obviously, he's been all over the headlines over the last couple of weeks where he's linked to Manchester United, and Luke de Jong, number of caps for Holland, played for them in the Euros last summer. But I think it's they two that Rangers fans will be dreading seeing. Xavi Simmons, obviously a Giovanni Van Bronckhorst target in the summer, and obviously Steven Gerrard, which was very, very high on his priority list, was Joey Veerman. Two of them absolutely flying for PSV, so I think Rangers know that they're up against a dangerous outfit.
Do you think he's held off signing for Man United because he was scared of coming up against the rough and ready Aaron Hickey at the weekend? Did you see that? How good was that?
Absolutely terrific.
I mean, we know Aaron Hickey's a good player, obviously. I didn't expect that bodying of Cristiano Ronaldo.
That summed up the game in a split-second moment. Aaron Hickey and Brentford knocking Cristiano Ronaldo of Manchester United onto his fancy away strip. United were hopeless, Brentford were brilliant, and if I was Cody Gakpo, I'd get nowhere near the place.
Listen, Brentford were terrific, and I certainly include Aaron Hickey in that, because the 75 minutes he was on the pitch, he was superb.
Do you know what, Leon, I was just thinking, just hearing from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Ruud van Nistelrooy, even when we've been hearing from Ange Postecoglou earlier on, despite the obvious differences of it being team sport versus individual sport, I just wonder if in your role, do you get cross sport inspiration from like leadership styles or management styles, coaching styles, that sort of thing? Is that something you ever pay much attention to?
Yeah, they have done. You have like a coaches performance institute that a lot of the head coaches are on, and you jump on conference calls. It can be not just UK based, but globally based. A lot of the American sports are into that, and you dial in and you listen to how they're maybe doing like team selections or creating team culture or any new technology they're using, like wearable technology to measure training outputs, etc. I mean, I've had dinners with Eddie Jones, Gregor Townsend. I've invited to one of his training camps up where Andy trains in Edinburgh. And it's all interesting because you're always picking up something. It could be some of the smallest things of, what are the most difficult things as a selector? We talk about is how you actually then deliver the news. Difficult conversations. You're talking about the team selections in football. I love that when it comes to Davis Cup. I've only got two guys that can go out to play singles, and I've got to tell one of Andy Murray, Cam Norrie, or Dan Evans, or potentially Jack Draper. If you're going to say, it's only two of you can play, and something, Andy, you'll be used to getting those sort of conversations either for you or against you. And it, as the head coach, that's probably the one of the things that keeps you up. How are you going to? Mm. I don't know if it's. I didn't mean to say it more that way.
I seen Roger give me the eyes. It's probably went against me for the last few weeks.
That's why I said for or against. I leant a little bit more in the against.
Yeah,
there,
I like that, Leon.
I went there.
And is that? Yeah. Do you? If other characters in football that you think, you know, I like that management style, even if it's not, I get that it can be a difficult comparison, but the psychology of it must be overlapping at times.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, any players, it doesn't matter what sport, will tell you, you've got to feel good about it. And, you know, all the stuff they do during the week, you've got to enjoy it. I mean, I'm always interested. I'm sure, Andy, you know, during the week, you've got to have a lot of fun training. Yes, it's hard work, but it's the fun element. You know, you're around your teammates, you're doing drills, you might be doing practice matches, etc. You've got to do your fitness, you've got to build all that. And then it comes to the weekend or the midweek fixture, and it's a different type. It's not fun. It's a responsibility that you enjoy. Like, that's the bit. And that's the whole job of the head coaches and the coaching teams, to make sure you've got that balance of keeping it really, really lively, fun, inspiring during the week, to then, right, do you understand the responsibility that's going to happen now when you step out?
If we're talking about, you know, similarities, maybe international management would be a one where Andy Murray, Jamie Murray, whoever it would be, it goes and does their thing for various parts of the year, and then comes under your leadership, if you like, at Davis Cup. What, again, I know individual sport, but what, let's take Andy Murray for instance, because we're talking about one of the greatest sportsmen across any sport for the last, whatever, 15, 20 years. What's that relationship like? What's he like?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's brilliant to work with. I mean, I was fortunate that I coached him through all his teenage years, so we've got quite a long-standing relationship. And his demands are extremely high, and that's why it's great having him around. I think he is a leader himself. He took a lot of the guys under his wing, gave them time with them, took them on a lot of the pre-season trains. They took the younger guys away with them so he could actually get them to feel what it's like and see what it's like to train. But when you take someone from an individual sport or someone that's not your coaching every single week, your job is to make sure that you know how they learn, how they like taking information. And one of the big things you got with tennis players is so much... tennis is actually a little bit slow to the party getting things like Hawkeye and live data and analytics, and now it's really there, and there's a raft of information, and some players like Andy want a raft of information. I mean, you need to be really ready for him in terms of the scouting of the opponent, not just his own numbers but also the opponent's. And then some players don't like that level of information. So someone, even mind me saying, but something like Dan Evans doesn't like that. He wants to play more instinctively, more creatively. So you've got to pick your moments of when to put something in, and that, unless you spend time with them, I'm always interested to see the national, like, head coaches in football, because my job is to go around enough of the time. You know, it's not just to jet set and, you know, head off to nice tournaments, but you've got to spend time on the practice court, talking to their coaches, understanding exactly what, even things like the language you use, the vocabulary or the terms you can chuck out. If you get that wrong, you know, sitting in an end change with an Andy or a Cam Norrie, that can throw them. So I've got to know what
they respond
words.
To.
Exactly.
Do you think football can learn a bit more in terms of using that cross-sport knowledge? For instance, Andy's got a mentoring programme, doesn't he? A couple of the young Hibs players are part of that, and people might think, how can playing at Wimbledon compare to being a centre-back at Easter Road, whatever, but there must be, you know, can football do that a bit more?
Yeah, I think all sports can. I mean, I think all sports can be a little bit insular in their approach and think, no, you got to know about the sport. And I've got to be honest, I was a bit like that in my own sport. And then we had a run of three performance directors that came in. One was, used to run British Cycling. The others was performance director at UK Sport. In fact, our newest one, Michael Bourne, came from that as well. Completely different backgrounds and didn't know about tennis, but he didn't need to. And that's the thing when I spend time with... I said before, like Gregor Townsend or whatever, you're picking up things that you don't necessarily see because you're so fixated in your sport, and you think, no, you need to bring people in it. I think it's been tried a bit in football, and I think it'd probably be the sport that's the toughest one to crack, to open up the minds of...
Set in our ways.
But I think it's something you could look at. It doesn't have to be, maybe, it's not going to be the direct football coaching, but of course not, but it could be across the other... science and medicine areas, academy structures, that type of thing could be an area to look at.
Right, let's see how we're getting on with this teaser. Since 99-2000, Rangers have had 11 different scorers against Dutch opposition. Can you name them? Amoruso, Moles and Albert so far?
Shea Ojo.
Oh, see if you've gone in for that one early. That makes me worried, because you've just deliberately gone for the most difficult one. Shea Ojo, Feyenoord at home in 2019.
I'll go for the return leg of that one, and Alfredo Morelos double.
Roger.
Well, we'll finish off Rangers 4 PSV 1 1999. Neil McCann.
Yes, a couple of show-offs on, it's making me sick.
Well, I will just continue with
just
Neil
answer
McCann.
The question.
Neil McCann scored in another game against Feyenoord, and the scorer that night was Barry Ferguson.
Well done. We'll get the rest of the answers, obviously, and we'll look back at some of the weekend's other talking points. Pataudry, anyone? We could do that next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna, Andy Halladay here. Our special guest Leon Smith still with us as well. A couple of things to get through. Going to speak to Blair on the line. We'll round off the answers to this teaser. I also need to run this past you quickly.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Team of the Week with Clyde Build Home Improvements.
I love this. It's Marvin Bartley's turn to pick his Team of the Week. Go to @ClydeSSB right now to see his team. Argue about it in the comments. He also had a very interesting strategy. He picked no Livingston players because he didn't want to start fight amongst the teammates. See that, Leon? Good management, trying to keep the harmony in the camp. He had a great victory at the weekend.
Anything? Controversies?
Well, I'll let the listeners decide. Go to @ClydeSSB. I think no Malik Tillman in it caused a bit of a stir.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's brand new to Clyde One Super Scoreboard this season, Team of the Week. It's thanks to Clyde Built Home Improvements. We're giving you the chance to win a current or retro football kit of your choice. So go to ClydeOne.com to enter. Right, on this teaser, can you name... where were we? Was it the last 11? Yes, since 99-2000, Rangers have had 11 different scorers against Dutch opposition. You've got Amoruso, Moles, McCann, Alberts, Ferguson, Shea Ojo and Alfredo Morelos. One more each.
James Tavernier.
James Tavernier against?
Against Willem Twee.
Willem Twee in 2020, Andy.
He's went for the one that's my most confident on. Over the Willem Twee game, but I am 90% sure Conor Goldson scored that game.
You should be 100% sure. Conor Goldson. So you've got two left, but the pressure now is to get them without getting any wrong.
I know, there's definitely... I'm confident in another two, I'm not sure.
We'll see. Let's bring in Blair, who's a Motherwell fan. Did you see that coming at the weekend, Blair?
Well, I phoned you last week, and obviously we discussed about... obviously we didn't have the manager in place going, because you did put me on the spot about Stevie Hamill, like, would he be a good choice? And I did say, I'll take him. But even I said to you guys on the panel last week, I said I didn't see where it was coming from, to be honest, because the football wasn't good, the performances were terrible. To be honest, I think if anyone told you like Mull would win, I think I would probably have to send them to the winning bin, because I think no one expected the way we actually played that game. I mean, I think we could have easily won by at least a few more goals with performance, and it just took me right back. But obviously, I'm not getting carried away because it's like one game, he's been in charge. And we've got a tough game on Saturday against Livingston, like you just said there. So every game's a tough game. So I think it's just to keep the momentum going. And obviously, you did say in the interview before the game he was planning to bring a few players in, which is encouraging to the fans to maybe freshen up the squad, which it does need in some positions because we've lost Carroll for injury and a few spaces maybe missing. I think we could maybe do with to kind of keep the squad kind of like competing for places and kind of keep the morale kind of going like really high right now. So things
Roger Hanna, you were there, so you are certainly best placed to respond to Blair.
Yeah, well, listen, to my left here tonight, Blair, I've got a footballer and I've got a sports coach and captain. Now, this is why sometimes I'm reticent to criticise footballers on the show, because you never can tell what advice and tactics footballers have had from their manager before the game. Because you look at that Motherwell midfield on Saturday, Blair Spittle goes forward and scores a goal. Callum Slattery goes forward and scores a goal. Sean Goss, for me, was the best player in the park and was very unlucky not to score a goal. And I asked Stephen Hamill about it after the game, and he basically has taken the brakes off the midfield players. Graham Alexander played at a certain system. He played a back four. He got a lot of width out the full backs. He played a couple of wingers either side of Invine a lot of the time. And the three central midfield players were, I wouldn't say they were all holding midfield players, but they didn't exactly bust beyond Van Veen and get forward. These guys now are being allowed to bust beyond Van Veen and get forward. And you might see that they'll let more goals in. They played really well. I said at the top of the show you could have won by more, but you did concede two goals. And I think under Stevie Hamill, I think it will be, I don't say Motherwell will be more exciting, I think they will, but I think the games will be more exciting, because I think Stephen Hamill sees his midfielders, his wide guys, as guys who need to get their numbers up, both in ways of assists and goals. So it really is, you know, Leon will coach some guys one way, he'll coach other guys one way. I'm sure Andy's been coached the way Graham Alexander would coach a central midfielder and the way Stevie Hamill would coach a central midfielder. But certainly it worked on Saturday.
Andy, I feel like that the general consensus amongst Motherwell fans certainly was, look, club legend, get behind them, great, we'll do what we can to support them, but it'll probably take a bit of time. It certainly won't start this weekend. Pataudry away, the way we've been playing, the way they've been playing, the progress will be slow. And look, overall the progress might still be slow. We find that out in a couple of weeks. But what a start.
I remember actually Blair calling last week, and I think one of the big things he says about the appointment of Stevie Hamill was the fact that he would get the fight back in the jersey. He would remind the players what it's like to play for Motherwell. And for me, you know, Roger was there, he talked about the quality, they could have scored more goals, but for me that's the reason they win the game, because it would have been very, very easy when they went 2-1 down to then throw in the towel like they did. But after a disappointing way to lose the game against St Johnstone last week, to then continue that after going 2-1 down against Aberdeen. But that fight in the jersey to get back on an attacking football and score two late goals, and you know, of course I've only seen the highlights, but for me they certainly looked very, very worthy of the victory.
Roger, the obvious sort of criticism, if that's the right word, probably not, the objection, if anyone had an objection to the appointment, it's going to be he's never managed before, never been a manager before, never managed at that level. All you can really do is just answer that in time.
Listen, it's like footballers. You give a footballer on a debut and you've given them the platform, and after that, to a certain extent, it's up to them to go and take that opportunity. It's the same with managers. You know, at one stage, Alec Ferguson had never managed before. You know, Carlo Ancelotti had never managed before. Everybody needs to start somewhere. And, you know, it doesn't bother me that Stephen Hamill hasn't managed before. I think he was a good fit. If you want somebody that's managed before, go get Sven-Göran Eriksson. He applied for the job. Don't think he'd have been a better Motherwell manager than Stephen Hamill. So, you know, everybody needs to start somewhere. He started very well at Pataudry on Saturday.
You're right. Roger Hanna did just say that Stephen Hamill's the next Carlo Ancelotti. I've got that clipped up, don't you worry. I'll remember that when it comes true, obviously. We've got quite a while to wait. Thank you to Blair, though, for sharing his thoughts. 01419511025 on the phones. Right, quickly, in terms of managers who are having a good time, Stevie Hamill's one of them. We've spoken to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Ange Postecoglou. Who's not having a good time right now?
Who's not having a good time? You probably do have to say Malky Mackay. Ross County were terrific last season, no points this season. Big game for them at home to Kilmarnock. You also have to say, I think producer Callum's gone home.
He's chucked it. You have to say Amsterdam's taking its toll.
You have to say Jack Ross. I think he's had five games in charge. A draw at Kilmarnock, terrific win against Alkmaar, but you lose at home to Livingston, you lose seven in Alkmaar, you then lose one after 41 seconds on the way to a 4-1 defeat at home to St Mirren on Saturday. Is going to be not for the faint hearted.
You're partly responsible.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that. I think especially for Dundee United and Jack Ross, I think they had a lot of expectations going into the season. A manager they were very, very happy with in terms of his appointment. I think you look at the standard of players they've brought in. Obviously Stephen Fletcher's pedigree is there for everyone to see. Jamie McGrath, who had a fantastic couple of seasons at St Mirren before he left. Again, though, I do feel as if Dundee United would be okay. I'm glad that Callum's went home, so I can now sort of give Dundee United that bit of hope. But I do think they've got a very good manager there. I do see enough in that playing squad for them to be more than okay.
Robbie Nielsen's in the happy camp. Well, as happy as he can ever be.
Yeah, listen, again, though, and I know it's certainly not the way he should look as a professional football player, but just thinking of that 1 minute at Easter Road, if he can hold on and start from that 9-9, It's obviously disappointing.
It's a bit like that John McGlynn answer on Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's worse, trust me.
How much are you looking forward to this midweek, though? I mean, what an occasion for the club.
Yeah, can't wait. I think, you know, we've we've basically known we were going to get European football for a number of months now. It was obviously confirmed in April. And then after the Scottish Cup semi-final against Hibs, you were guaranteed it to December, so we knew we had plenty of fixtures to look forward to. Then comes the draw, which brings its own excitement, and then you draw against FC Zurich, which you know of them. You don't know too much in terms of personnel, but I mean, you're looking, you know, to win the Swiss League by 16 points over the likes of Ball and Young Boys that we spoke about earlier. They're clearly going to be a good side. So I think the analysis that Leon mentioned earlier in terms of tennis, our analysis has already started on their strengths and weaknesses, and we'll try and use that to our advantage and hopefully get a positive result on Thursday.
Nice Swiss chocolates for the duty.
Too expensive. I've been to Switzerland before. That's a different level of pricing. That,
listen, next week we're expecting them on this desk. Do you feel like your European experience can help? I mean, you'll have Craig Gordon in there as well, of course, and you've got talented teammates for sure, but just in particular of, you know, your time at Rangers featured in a lot of European games, think that'll help?
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, any chance you can get to sort of lean on any experience, I think boys will do, and boys have already sort of asked you a question about that. I think the big thing that sort of came up is temperature, because, you know, in Scotland we're certainly not blessed with 28 degree weather that they are in Switzerland.
How have you been
now
preparing?
We went to a heat chamber today in a university to do a spin bike, and I think it was 32
awful
degrees. It was at a certain altitude. It was not easy, but, you know, any sort of slight advantage you can get to sort of use that to your benefit, we'll certainly try that.
What colour was Liam Boyce when he came out of the chamber?
It's a colour of red I've never seen before, actually. So
maroon, was it by any chance?
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite maroon. I think it was, we'll go for Aberdeen's kit more than Hearts.
Yeah, well, listen, best of luck, particularly in bringing those chocolates back for Roger, Hannah and I. But on a serious note, hope it goes well. I think we can say that. It'd be great to have all our teams.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous.
Maybe Hibs fans are throwing stuff at the radio, but come on, got to give them a chance. I think that just about does it. Let's round off this teaser if we can. Two more of the last 11 Rangers players to score against Dutch opposition. You've got Tavernier, Goldson, Morelos, Ojo, Ferguson, Alberts, McCann, Moles, Amoruso.
I said 90% confidence in Connor Goldson, and I'm going to go 80% confidence in
dripping
the centre half partner that night, Philip Hallander.
Yes, well done. Superb.
Right, I'm toiling now, Roger. Really toiling for the last one, actually.
Come on, Roger, don't let him down. You've almost done the unthinkable.
Is it the Willem Twee game?
Yes.
Right. Are you taking a stab at the dark, or is that an educated guess?
See, I'm going to get shouting at if I
No. Because listen, mine's is an educated guess. It's certainly not with any confidence.
You do it then.
Hey, don't just confer then quickly. What would your guess be? Hurry up.
Scott Arfield. But it's not a lot of confidence.
What would your guess be?
No, listen, he's better placed.
What would your guess be?
No, I'll take
but
that.
What would your guess be?
What would my guess be?
But Roger, what he's now saying is that's wrong. So I'm just curious.
I think it's a double bluff. I think you're right.
Well, I've got to be honest, it's 50%.
So you
max
don't even want to offer me a name?
No.
Seriously.
Listen.
Leon, guess another random Rangers player from this era. It's a Willem Twee game.
Right, so it's no Arfield then.
My guess would be Borna Barisic.
Don't know. Pass.
Ryan Kent.
Oh, really? I was thinking Ryan, because Ryan Kent won the penalty for James Tatt, and I couldn't picture
him. I'm not interested in your justification. Thank you, Roger and Andy. A special thanks goes to Leon. It's been great fun having him. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And just remind us, how can we get along and watch the Davis Cup team
action? Go to lta.org.uk/Davis Cup tickets. Prices start for a fiver for kids. It'll be a brilliant atmosphere.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll get down. Hopefully we'll have you back on at some point in the future. Thanks for all your calls and your tweets. What a night it's going to be tomorrow, Rangers fans. Cannot wait to speak to you heading to the game, getting that feeling of the big match atmosphere. Rangers against PSV Eindhoven. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff, so we'll have all the build up with Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl, and of course yourselves. And in the meantime, you can just stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.